in 1992, on BBC One, there was a programme called Ghost Watch. And it was Michael Parkinson and Sarah Green and Mike Smith, much loved TV celebrities at the time. And it was set in a studio, but it was a spoof, really, documentary or reality TV documentary about paranormal activity. And what they did was they presented us a spoof around a ghost called Pipes. Now, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But an enormous amount of people phoned in, very upset, and their kids very upset as well, about this particular situation. And that is partially the story for this rather good movie, which came out in 2023, Late Night with the Devil, which I watched last night with my lovely wife Debbie and my friend Alan. Hello, Alan. On Amazon Prime, I think it was. And it's beautifully observed. That's the first thing. And it kind of knows what it wants to be and then stops knowing. So most of it, I absolutely love. The work in it is top class. It knows exactly what it wants to say and the way it looks, the set dressing, the design, the costumes, beautifully done. And then it goes somewhere else. Allow me to explain. It's the basis of a late night TV show. So there is a, he's a late night radio personality. It's called Jack Delroy, and he has signed up to produce or to present a show called Night Owls, which is supposedly, it's late night, and it's to really try and attack the prescience of Johnny Carson and The Tonight Show. So this is set in 1977. Now, it does well. We do get this this background, beautifully done actually, well narrated, beautifully done, very quickly done, but with real storylining. It does well to start with. And then it starts to, but it doesn't do better than Carson. During the run of this show, Jack Delroy marries Madeline Piper, who is an actor. So it's a celebrity couple, and she is diagnosed with cancer and passes away from cancer, but not before she is lung cancer, even though she wasn't a smoker. So not before she goes on the Night Owl show with an oxygen tube and tells Jack how much she loved him and she loves him and all of that, and talks about their marriage. It was the biggest grossing episode that they had. She passes, he goes missing for a month, comes back and is ready to go again. But it's not looking too good. And what people are saying is, if you can't beat Carson, what's the point? And the ratings are going down. And it's now Sweeps Week. And it's 1977. And what they do with Sweeps Week is that that falls on Halloween night. And they decide they will have a paranormal episode. So they're going to have somebody who is a mind reader. They're going to have somebody who is a skeptic, a James Randi type character. I mean, he looks a little like James Randi, Ian Bliss, playing very florid Carmichael Haig, exactly right. A previous magician who's become a skeptic and has a cheque for $10,000 for anyone who can fool him or convince him. And then we have a psychotherapist, June Ross Mitchell, and we have a child who has been subjected to, it seems, a satanic cult house, which ended in a fire, and she's a survivor from that situation, and she's being looked after by June Ross Mitchell. Lily, played with sweetness, but very oddly smiling sweetness by Ingrid Torelli. And June has written a book. She's also in a relationship, it seems, with Jack. And what happens during this episode is that Christu, he's called Christu, isn't he? That's right, Christu, has a problem with an audience member who's a bit of a comedian himself, and makes the reading not look so good. He then has a success, and then as he's about to, and it's a very good success, and it sounds good, and everyone's very happy about that. As he's about to go off air, he gets assailed, attacked by another message. Who's Minnie? That would, spoiler alert, be his name for his deceased wife. And during the break, he throws up black liquid and is rushed off to hospital, where he subsequently dies in the ambulance. After the break, they double down on this. They don't say, this is a bit weird, let's stop, because they need the ratings so much. They decide that they will try and persuade the parapsychologist, June, to talk to Lily and to bring the demon that is inside of her out. And they subsequently do. Chair levitates. Her face looks like Regan's in the Exorcist. She has a different kind of voice. She seems to know Jack. Jack has been involved in some kind of secretive organisation. As the demon says, we've met once before among the tall trees. The secretive organisation is thought to be some kind of satanic club and lots of orgies. As Carmichael says, I'm particularly interested in the orgies. And he's part of that. It's like a club to get on, but even that can't help him to get better ratings than Johnny Carson. And so he pushes things. It's great ratings. People are calling in, they're complaining, but they're loving it. Got great ratings. They've pulled an enormous rating, bigger than Johnny Carson ever could think of. And after the break, after we've seen Lily and the demon, Carmichael, Car, as he's called, does a number on the sidekick, you know, the kind of Hank Kingsley, in the Larry Sanders Show, the kind of, here he is, Jack Delroy. He's a very unassuming, he's the kind of person that you think, you're going to die in this. If anyone's going to die in this, and it's a horror movie, you are. And he hypnotises him, but also, it turns out, hypnotises the rest of us, because what we see, and we see this through our TV screen as well, or the cinema screen, what happens is that this sidekick, Gus, played with real unassuming and real concern and real understanding that he could be fired or could die or could be the subject of a joke at any time by Reese or Terry, has a fear of worms. And we see him pulling his neck apart and then pulling his stomach apart and lots of worms coming out. Everyone saw it. It was awful. He brings him back, does Carmichael, and there's nothing wrong. He's not dead. He's not full of worms. And when we see the tape back, when they show it on the show, that didn't happen. Everybody had been, or most people had been, hypnotised. And it's beautifully done. I won't explain what happens further on, but they push and push and push, so that eventually the power that is within Lily is quite obvious for everyone to see, and decimation ensues. This is when the film gets a little confused, because what it does is it shows either a dream state or a fugue state or something like that, of Jack Delroy's life when he goes back to the signing of the contract in the first place, to some of the times he's had with the secretive organisation, to his wife in bed and killing her as she asked for that, and all of that. And the ending scene is we're left to wonder whether or not this actually happened, or whether he was under pressure and went crazy. Crazy is the wrong word, and I do apologise for using that word. Whether he was emotionally upset enough to kill all these people. But you do see a potted history of his career, and it doesn't seem right. It's a bit odd, because before then, it hadn't really lost a step. And I love the 70s, as you know. And I love the way that the bright, but very gaudy and really tacky set, and the beautiful costumes, the right... It's 1977, so you do have that trousers, shirt and waistcoat outfit. And that's worn by the parapsychologist, June Ross Mitchell. It's beautifully done. The performances are really well done as well, in that there isn't much, there's a real difference between what they're like on, for some of them, what they're like on screen and what they're like when we go to black and white and we go to a commercial and the business of running the show happens. David Dasmalchian, who is Jack Delroy, has a, you can see that he's calculating, but that in some ways there is no point, because he's selling his soul, figuratively, maybe literally, selling his soul for something that will always fall short until this very night, at which time he pushes and pushes and pushes, because this is what he's always wanted. And although we're aware that he hates himself for this, and you can see this in his performance, he's driven by that. And this is what he was put on this earth to do, to come second, and finally the opportunity to come first. It is a beautifully observed piece of work, and it's very different to a lot of the other, quite 70s, like the Warrens films, all of that. Very different to those, in that it's got one set, really, the studio, and that's really airless and tense and beautifully observed and really well done. Apart from the ending, this is an extraordinary horror. It's something very different, and that is something we need in the horror genre at the moment. It's become a massive genre. Have a look at this. It's really something very special. Just don't expect the last 20 minutes to be something you necessarily want. Stuff before that, though, fabulous. Ta-ta.